Welcome back to the Luck Changers podcast. They say the only sure thing about luck is that it changes, and we are here to change that for you. I am your host, Boogs. Join with me, as always, my co-host and NFL aficionado, Father Tone.
Hello.
What's up, Father Tone? And we have our moderator here, AJ.
Good evening, boys. Another week in the books.
Yeah, another week in the books. Some highlights, some lowlights. We'll get all into that. But this episode, we have the conference championship games. We are talking the UFC 151, Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier. And we have our prop bets that we did pretty well on. So we're going to get into all of that and more. We're not going to waste any more time. And AJ, what do we have on our first game of our recap from last week?
All right, so yeah, so let's recap the NFL divisional round. Saturday we had Rams at Packers. Packers took this game 32-18. This was actually a luck it in, and you guys actually did pretty good on this one. You guys had a teaser, Packers minus one.
Okay, hey, that's a good start for the two of us. It started out looking really good. We didn't really even need to tease that, but well, we did, and the Packers came through. There was a couple ugly moments, but Aaron Rodgers the whole time looked super confident, and I had a feeling that they were going to break through and win this game handily.
Yeah, I've never lost confidence in Aaron Rodgers. I feel like he's been fantastic. I had him on my fantasy team. I've mentioned this before if you're a prior listener, but I've had him, and he's in his bag. So I felt really good about the minus one. We didn't end up needing it. They came out, and they took care of business, so... The first leg of our teaser was successful with the Packers minus one.
Yeah, that was a no sweater. The whole entire game, knew. I mean, the Rams weren't going to win that.
Mm-mm.
Right.
But respect to Aaron Donald, and he put it all out there. He was extremely emotional at the end, which I can respect. And
definitely.
Dude's probably the best defensive player of all time. But there's arguments out there, but that's one of
I
my
mean,
opinions.
Definitely this year. Oh, yeah. You know, 2020 season, I would say Aaron Donald's the best defensive player. He makes such an impact.
Scary, man.
Consistently, you know. So you got to account for him, and he's a beast. So.
I'd be willing to say he's the best player in the NFL, period.
Right.
Not just defensive player.
Yeah, that's,
you could argue
that's,
that.
Yeah, it's hard to argue, in my opinion. He's a beast, man.
Right.
So after this game, Sean McVay said that everyone's up for evaluation, even Jared Goff. Nate, you think Sean McVay's capping?
Yeah, dude had a broken thumb, and he looked pretty good in the in that game. He completed about 70-some percent of his passes, no interception. He took care of the ball. They ran into an absolute freight train in Aaron Rodgers. Jared Goff got that team to a Super Bowl before. He mustered up an injured Rams team to go this far, beat the Seahawks team. Dude came in with a broken thumb. That's ridiculous if they even think about releasing or trading or benching Jared Goff. He's the quarterback of the future. What do you think, Tom?
I don't think he is, to be honest with you. I think they're used to a certain amount of excellence, and they have the ability to do so. So I think they are going to reevaluate some things and just see what makes, you know, the most sense for them as a team and as an organization. So I don't think he's capping, but we'll see. If it's me, I'm not putting all my eggs in Jared Goff's basket.
Right.
So I don't understand why he would cap about that, but it's hard to say.
All right. Fair. That's fair. I was going to take us to the next game. It's actually a second leg of your guys' luck it in teaser. Ravens at Bills. And the Bills won 17-3. You guys took the Ravens plus 8.5, and boy, did this game piss me off.
What a frustrating game. This game was just something else. I mean, there were so many opportunities for the Ravens to not only cover that 8.5, but win the game. They threw that 101-yard touchdown return. That was wild.
Mm.
It changed the landscape of the game immediately. So, not only that, the best kicker in the league, arguably,
the GOAT,
missed two
field
goals. And these were within 50 yards. Easy for him. I know the weather was, you know, touchy and it was difficult, but it was just a tough game. We ended up losing, but I feel like a lot of bettors that took that leg don't feel like they should have lost that game.
Oh yeah, if you're a betting man, you would. I mean, that whole game just made me sick.
Yeah.
The Ravens, who I thought had a really good chance at winning the game outright, and I'm looking at it, I'm like 8.5 points. That's very nice. I like to see that.
Coverable.
You love to see that. I mean, that's more than a touchdown. That's past a significant number. And then you put up 3 points to go to the AFC Championship game.
I was shocked. I really was. I mean, even if they got that touchdown, they only put up 10 points. So to me, I feel like they're capable of a lot more. I know Lamar ended up getting hurt, and there was, you know, a couple things going on with them as a team, but that was just a disappointing loss, to be honest.
Yeah, disappointing season. You expect Lamar Jackson and Harbaugh to go further than that, but no, it's sad. And we lost. I'm just going to let AJ take over from here because I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bad game. We'll move on. That takes us to Sunday and the game we were all waiting for, Browns versus the Chiefs. Chiefs ended up winning this one 22-17. You guys both had a really good day on this one, though.
Yeah, I'll get started. Even though we both ended up winning, spoiler alert, I ended up taking the Browns getting that 10 points, and I knew once I seen Chad Henne come in, they were not going to cover. And how many times have we talked about the Chiefs not covering this year?
AJ, Chiefs can't cover.
AJ, CCC.
What's the stat, AJ? What does Kansas City do?
The stat is Chiefs can't cover.
Stats, yeah. So I feel like it's like 10 straight weeks or something silly like
something
that.
Something ridiculous.
It's dirty.
But honestly, they win.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do find a way.
Yeah, there was a lot of things about this game between the rule change possibly coming up with the touchback fumble in the back of the end zone thing.
Heartbreaking.
A lot of things going around. Targeting.
Reviewing helmet to helmet.
Reviewing helmet to
helmet. I want to take a second to talk about that touchdown fumble out of the end zone. I don't understand. Why does that rule make any sense?
No.
So instead of getting a touchdown, now I don't even have the ball. I can't even kick a field goal. I just don't get it. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I think it's a hyper aggressive rule.
Yeah.
And maybe this instance forces the NFL to look at it. So I don't know. As a Browns fan, it was heartbreaking.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, it was the Browns are the Browns, and the Browns going to Browns. Mm-hmm. So,
yes,
it was kind of expected, but my goodness, that's a heartbreaker.
Yeah, I agree with the whole rule change thing. Obviously, rules are subject to change. I agree with AJ's point about reviewing the head-to-head rule. I don't know why, with everything going on in the NFL, like, you have so many cameras, you can review every play. Why don't you?
College reviews it.
Yeah. I didn't even think about
that. Yeah, and they kicked the guy out if he's in college.
Yeah, and for some reason, it was nothing. And it was just frustrating.
I mean, the safety didn't even put his arms out. It was just helmet. That was it.
It doesn't make a lot of sense, but I guess it fits the NFL's agenda. They need Kansas City to win, I understand. But
more money.
Like I said, as a Browns fan, it's tough. But I'm proud of our team. It was a fantastic year. We overcame a lot of adversity, and I'm proud of them. So I'll take it. I'm looking forward to next year.
Yeah, so I went on the plus 10 on the Browns tone. What one did you end up taking? A no sweater look like?
No sweats. I took the under 57.5, so I felt good about that the whole time, especially when Henny came in and ended up covering pretty handsomely, and you ended up getting that as well. So good game for us overall.
Yeah, very nicely done. Yeah.
Hopefully, as a listener, you took both sides on that one.
Yeah.
Parlayed that, make some dough.
Yeah, so leaving off this game, I felt like this is the first time in forever that the Browns have a returning quarterback, head coach, GM, tandem, and it feels like we're set for the first time in a while. Father Tone, what's your opinion on the 2021 Browns next season?
I think we have a very solid foundation, so I'm really looking forward to it. Like I said, Baker showed a lot this year. He went down tremendously in his interceptions. He was very consistent with his yards and his touchdowns, especially the second half of the year. He really killed it. He murdered it. I felt really good about him ever since OBJ went out. I love Odell, but I kind of hope we can maybe possibly trade him, get some pieces for him, or maybe he finds a way to implement himself into the offense as a less aggressive role, because it seemed that Baker was a lot more comfortable and we were able to get a lot more offense flowing when he was hurt. So I like the Browns. I think we need to pick up some keys on defense. But our offense, I mean, our running backs are the best in the league. We have some really good talent on receivers, and our offensive line's one of the best. So I feel good as a Browns fan. The best I've ever felt.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good take. So the Vikings have a very good chance next year to look like a very good team. Oh, wait. What'd you ask?
What?
You oh, not the Vikings? Well, oh, shit. I didn't say the fuck word, though. Oh, my.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
Where are we at here? We're about 11 minutes.
Dude, so. I was literally going to write on, like, our Instagram, like, 9 minutes and 43 seconds. Yeah. So that would have been a pretty – that having people on the edge of their seats.
Right.
It's the fuck word.
It's a good prop bet.
Yeah, really. It is. It's gonna be said. We're passionate guys.
Yeah.
I thought about you for a little bit, Nate. I was thinking about the similarities between the Browns and the Vikings. I know that's your team. You know, we take Stefanski, Van Pelt. You just have a hell of a season. Let's pretend we're in a hypothetical world. Would you swap Mike Zimmer with Stefanski, seeing what you saw he did with the Browns, or are you okay?
I personally did not like Stefanski as the OC for the Vikings. I would give you guys Andrew Sandejo 100 times over again if you can have Stefanski from me, because that guy stinks.
Yeah.
But, no, I like Mike Zimmer. Unfortunately, the Vikings had a lot of injuries they had to deal with this year. Our best defensive player, Daniil Hunter, could possibly go down as one of the best defensive ends of all time. I don't know if you guys are quite familiar with my
guy.
Heard
it here first,
yeah,
folks.
I have his jersey, and I ended up going to my first Vikings game last winter, and my guy got 3.5 sacks and won defensive player of the game or week.
That's a lot of sacks.
Yeah,
a lot of sacks.
Yeah. But so we got Kirk Cousins, you guys got Baker Mayfield, pretty similar guys. We have Dalvin Cook, you guys got Nick Chubb, and we just happen to have arguably the best up and coming receiver who's only played 1 year in the NFL. My guy, Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. You guys got a lot of, you know, potential at your wide receiver positions in general. Offense in general, really.
Seeing Justin Jefferson play so well, it makes it easier for me to be happy for as far as Stephon Diggs is going this year. Because, I mean, that guy was all about the Vikings for so long, and I don't know what happened on the interior of the franchise, so I'll never judge that. But he was the Minneapolis miracle. And I will always be thankful of him. So with Justin Jefferson replacing him, it makes it easier to be like, okay, good for you. Go win one because we got a guy.
Right.
Yeah, so sorry about the Vikings who are completely irrelevant right now.
Right.
But I'm a passionate dude. That's why I say fuck. All right, AJ, what did I just deter us from?
All right, so that's going to take us to our last game. It was actually a head-to-head. Bucks at Saints. The Bucks end up winning this game 30-20.
Yeah, I tried to tell Nate and educate him last week, and if you were listening, you would have heard that. He didn't want to listen, so
bad listener.
I took the Bucks +3. They ended up winning pretty handsomely. Nate was all over the Saints. He really was. He wasn't flaccid about it, I'll tell you that. He loved the Saints. He was all over Drew Brees, Michael Thomas. He had them as his Super Bowl pick, and you know, you hate to see it. I really wish they would have went a little further, but I'm glad I got the W on that one.
Is it my turn to talk?
Yes, sir.
Well, I wish it wasn't, and I've been dreading this ever since the end of that game. I could shed a tear right now. I was preaching for the past 2 weeks. The Saints are going to win the Super Bowl. Drew Brees is going to go out on top, and then lo and behold, Tom Brady throws a touchdown pass to his kid. I mean, is that just not the ultimate kick in the testes? Because that's so disrespectful of my guy. Like, hey, Nate, Drew Brees doesn't care so much that his daughter's doing cartwheels on the field, and he just caught a pass in the end zone from the opposing quarterback who just knocked them out of the playoffs in his final year in the NFL. Michael Thomas got 0 catches on 4 targets.
It's fine.
Yeah,
you just gotta take your L and keep moving, my guy.
I'm just gonna relax because I have my co-host Super Bowl team still alive.
Yep.
The Packers, they look tough, but
actually Nate or AJ, both of ours, right?
Oh yeah,
look at the Packers.
Oh well, that's extremely unfortunate.
Feeling good
for me.
About them.
Yeah, and you know I know this is audio only, but I wanted to show my respects, pay my condolences, so I thought I'd wear my Reggie Bush jersey tonight.
Think about that
to Nate's Super Bowl prediction. So.
Very beautiful. That's not USC
very well
Reggie
played.
Bush. That's not Miami Dolphin Reggie Bush.
Nope.
Very well.
That's
played.
Not Detroit Lion Reggie Bush. He's wearing my guy's New Orleans Saints Reggie Bush. I didn't even notice that when you got here, and now I feel ultimately disrespected and heartbroken. And
it was beautiful, so subtle.
I had to share my, pay my respects. So.
Oh, right. Man, this is a whole new, this is live hurt. Like, this is happening right now. This is my heart breaking on air. This ain't tears, though. I'm not crying.
Love to see it.
So what else take over?
So I would say overall for the week, though, I went 2-1. I'll take that. Had a winning week. I needed it after last week.
Needed it.
Nate went 1-2. It's respectable.
Yeah, just fucking pissed on myself.
Overall, we broke even as a squad, but our luck at end went 0-1. Mm. We're still super hurt about what happened with that Ravens. But it went to 0-1, leaves us to 5-4 on the year. We are still in the green, but we're going to have to keep it going.
Yep.
And our head-to-heads are now 1-1 on the year.
They are.
So you just even that up. Just we didn't write that in the notes, but that's something we got to keep track of.
Because we might have
another head-to-head later on.
Yeah, we'll see.
I guess we will both see. So, AJ, what's next on the poo-poo platter?
You guys want to run through the prop bet recap real quick just to cover our bases on that one?
Sure.
Nate, even though you did go 1-2 in your week, had a really nice week on the prop bets. And what I like about prop bets is I feel like you can have a bad week, you hit your prop bets, and you're well above. You're in the green. So
thank you.
That was good. Just real quick, most receiving yards. Father Tone took Tyreek Hill plus 425. Finished the week with 110 yards. That took first. Nicely done.
Thank you, sir.
Before you continue, Tyreek Hill only had one more yard than the second guy.
Yeah.
And that was his teammate, Travis Kelce. Yeah. So I felt like that was pretty interesting.
Squeaked it out.
Squeaked her.
Yeah. I definitely squeaked it. Feel really good about it.
You squeaked it like SpongeBob's boots in that one episode. For all you underage listeners, I guess. I don't know. I blew that one. All
right.
We had most rushing yards. Nate took Aaron Jones plus 400.
Back to back.
He had 99 yards. That'll take first place.
Back-to-back rushing props.
Very nice.
And then we had some breaking news this morning. Philip Rivers' announcement. He announced that he's going to be retiring as of this morning, and Nate took that prop bet as well. So,
very nice.
Nice week on the prop bets.
And he's not pregnant.
I still think his wife could be pregnant, but it's fine.
I guess that could be in review, but someone had to get their tubes tied
nice
at
win.
This point.
Very nice job on the prop bets, Nate. Yeah.
Thank you. I needed it after... My Super Bowl team's not even there anymore.
Yeah, you need it.
Maybe next year, just like the Browns.
Right.
Yeah, so how did you guys do on DK?
I feel like DK was a pretty solid week for me. It was fine for Nate, just fine.
Mm-hmm. We know.
I rode with Josh Allen again, who ended up being one of my worst players of the week, ironically. He only had 12.54 points. So I rode with him again. I really liked him against that defense, but nonetheless I'll take him at 12.54 points. What about you, Nate? Who's your quarterback?
Who do you think was my quarterback? Mr. Drew Brees. He got the dreaded 6.66. I mean, is that just not the perfect topper for a shitty weekend?
What an evil number. Very evil.
I gotta get the devil out of my life because I need to start winning on these DKs because I am colder than probably an ice cube or the other side of the pillow. Just something that's cold. But everything about the Saints aside, who was your running back? Because we don't need to talk about the Saints anymore.
I ended up going Cam Akers. So Cam Akers ended up scoring a respectable 18.6 points. He wasn't the best running back of the week, but for the price, I feel like he was very significant. So I'll take Cam Akers at 18.60 points. What about you?
Yeah, this was actually the highlight of my lineup, unfortunately. But I had Aaron Jones, who I also had the rushing prop bet on. So he got 18.3, not quite what Cam Akers got, but about 3 yard difference. He scored a touchdown. He had that long run, and 18 points is just fine in my book. What do you think, Tone?
Yeah. For my wide receiver, I took Tyreek Hill, who did pretty solid. He scored 22.9 points. I felt confident about him. Like I said, I took him in the most rushing yards, the most receiving yards, which he ended up hitting. So I felt great about that. And for DK, 22.9 points is very good. So I'll take that.
I had Michael Thomas. 0 points.
I don't understand. He had 4 targets, but 0 points.
Zero points.
He was playing. I think he's still banged up.
He's planned to have multiple ankle surgeries this offseason.
Yikes. You need to see that to an Ohio State boy, too.
Yep.
And he was just so solid.
It makes me think they probably tried to play him too early.
MVP candidate last year as a wide receiver.
Right. You really hate to see that. What about your tight end, Nate?
I did all right. I had Robert Tonyan. He got a solid 10 points for his price value. It's all you can really ask for in the tight end position.
Right.
He looked solid. I think he's going to look solid again this upcoming week. But 10 points, I'm not really mad at. Michael Thomas getting that zero, I am mad at. But well, who was your tight end? Who were you looking at?
I rode Mark Andrews for consecutive weeks, and for consecutive weeks, he was a disappointment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So he got 6.8 points for me this week, and he was my worst player that I had picked. So if that's my worst player, it is what it is. But he's a little disappointing in the season and the playoffs. I think he has a great career ahead of him. He's a very solid player. But in the playoffs, he was underwhelming, to say the very least. So who'd you have at your flex, Nate?
Probably someone you know familiar as Jarvis Landry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I might have also had him in my flex.
Yeah, did we have a luck it in on
we
our flex?
We did have a luck it in flex. And it was pretty solid for his price. He had 15 points. You know, you'd love to see 5 to 10 more points out of him, but I think overall you can't be disappointed with that pick.
No, and he was fairly cheap, and it seemed like they were going after him early and often.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, they just couldn't get it done, and Browns have next year, like you were just saying. I think they have a lot of upside, which it's exciting.
Yeah.
Super.
So our sleepers for the week, we took Emmanuel Sanders, who scored 10.8 points, and Kareem Hunt, who scored 10.4. So they're pretty similar. You know, for that price point, you'd like to at least see 10 points. You'd like to get 15 to 20 to get really optimal upside out of your sleepers. But, you know, neither one of those are too disappointing, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, double digits for your sleepers is always nice to see. But when you get into the sleepers who give you the 2.4 to, like, the 4.6 points or something silly, or zero if you're spending all your money on Michael Thomas. But that's old shit. We're not going to bring that up anymore.
No.
I'm glad that's over with, and we can jump into a brand new week.
Well, for the week, just to quickly recap.
Oh, here we go again.
Father Tone was 75.84 points. Boogs had 49.9 points.
You're just the nicest guy ever. You're so really generous. Hate to see it. So between my quarterback and wide receiver combo, it was 6.66 points.
Really, really sick combo.
You need to get into church.
Right.
Amen, brother.
Go to church.
All right. So are we is this our time where we jump into these games and give you the value picks?
Or I guess
not the value, but the winning picks.
We're a half hour in. Let's get it.
Let's do it.
Perfect. All right.
Yeah, this week is the NFL Conference Championship picks. We got Sunday, 3:05. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are +3. They're taking on the Green Bay Packers. Over-under is 51. It's Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. Winner goes to the Super Bowl, loser goes home. Who do you got?
Okay, so the Packers have won 7 straight games. Buccaneers have won 6. Both of them are extremely hot. Both of the quarterbacks are extremely, extremely confident in... They've been there before.
We got a couple goats here.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Aaron Rodgers has lost 3 straight conference championship games.
Ooh.
3 straight. The last one he won was his Super Bowl. And earlier this year, the Buccaneers had beat him 38-10. Absolutely smoked them.
Yeah.
So the Buccaneers, over the last 2 seasons, they have been the best in rush defense. And they might be getting their defense tackle Vita Vea back after breaking his ankle like 3 months ago. So that would be huge against the run. And then you got another big matchup is Mike Evans against Jaire Alexander. But that opens up Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, Gronk, that run game with Leonard Fournette, with Ronald Jones probably returning. That's a ton of firepower, but I don't see Aaron Rodgers losing 4 straight conference championships. And I think I'll probably end up watching this game. But I'm going to go ahead and take the Packers -3 because I think Devontae Adams is going to be a little bit too much for that secondary. He's the best wide receiver this year, arguably, of course. He was a little beat up last time they played, and I think he's a lot more healthy. I think Aaron Rodgers is more confident and pumped than he's ever been. I'm going to take the Packers -3. Along with that, with all that being said, I'm going to also give you guys an extra value pick, maybe a lean. I like the under of 51 this weekend. So I got the Packers -3 and the under 51.
Yeah, I think you made a lot of great points there. Like you said, the Bucs had the number one rush defense, but one thing you failed to mention is that they had the 21st ranked pass defense. So, like I've mentioned before, Aaron Rodgers is in his bag. If I'm going against a defense that's 21st in, you know, total yards as far as my passing goes, and I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to go ahead and continue to eat. He has Davante Adams, Lazard's coming on. They have a lot of good weapons. Tanyan, Scantley. There's a lot going on with them. I really like to see the Packers advance here. Like I said, they're my Super Bowl pick. Aaron Rodgers is looking fantastic. The first matchup was arguably his worst game of the season. So he actually only had 160 yards. He threw 2 interceptions and 0 touchdowns. So Aaron Rodgers on the whole season had 5 interceptions total. 2 of them came against the Bucs when they lost. So it's interesting to think about. I don't see him having the same performance. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be back to him being Aaron Rodgers. So for me, I got to take the Packers -3. I think they're going to prevail. And if I had to lean towards the over-under, I would actually lean towards the over.
Okay.
So I think it might just be a marquee matchup. A lot of people are going to be looking at that Bills and Chiefs game, but I think this might be the best game of the day. Mm-hmm. You got the old heads going against each other. They're both going to be in their bag. I think it should be really, really good. But the Bucs are banged up, so I don't know what's going to happen with the Bucs. We had mentioned Antonio Brown, but he's having knee issues, and Mike Evans hasn't been 100%. So I feel like their receiver core isn't what it was, during the season in their prime. So it's going to be interesting. That's why I only lead towards the over. Plus, I don't know about the weather. If those injuries do come to be true and the weather's a little wonky, I would definitely go towards what Boog said as far as the under goes. So,
yeah, and I'm super adamant about Tom Brady playing in Lambeau Field, and then a couple of his receivers aren't really used to it, like Mike Evans or Chris Godwin, but he still has Gronk and Antonio Brown, who played in Pittsburgh all those years.
Right.
So he and Leonard Fournette might not be as used to it coming from Jacksonville, but Ronald Jones can run through anything. I think Leonard Fournette has came to be a target out of the backfield a lot of times. And I think Scotty Miller, if he gets his chances, you saw in the beginning of the year before they signed Antonio Brown, Scotty Miller was his favorite target. So if he can get some field time, I think Scotty Miller gives himself a couple big catches in the game. But overall, yeah, I just think the Packers not roll, but they win. I'll probably end up washing it with that 3 points. I think a lot of people will. So yeah, I think the Packers win by 3.
All right, so we're going to start the day with a luck it in then. Packers -3.
That's a luck
it in. Oh, yeah, that is a luck it in. Love to see it. Hey, let's snap out of this little funk we're in. We're going to get this.
I'm feeling good about it.
Yeah. All right, it's going to take us to the next game, the final game. Buffalo Bills +3. They're going to Kansas City to play the Chiefs. Over-under is 53. Bills are trying to make the Super Bowl for the first time since 1994. Chiefs are attempting to be the first back-to-back champs since the 03-04 Patriots. What are you guys thinking?
This is a challenging game for me. At this point in the week, we believe Patrick Mahomes is going to play. We don't know if he's going to play. If he's going to play, that's a significant value. So we know he has a lot of significance, but is he going to come back healthy? Is he 100%? It's really hard to say. I know it was only a concussion, but he has some other things going on. The Chiefs won the first matchup, so they won 26-17. They won by 9. These are the top 2 offenses in the regular season, so I feel like it could be kind of a back and forth shootout. But again, if Mahomes isn't playing, it's really hard to say. The Bills defense has been stepping up. I think for me, I can't really take a side. I might have to tease the Bills, so I'm gonna go ahead and tease the Bills +9, and I hate to do it, but I'm gonna tease through the 0 and take the Packers +3, because I just really think Aaron Rodgers is going to succeed and get into a Super Bowl, if not win it. So it goes against what I like to do, but I will take the Packers +3, tease with the Bills +9 versus the Chiefs. And if I had to lean, I'm going to root for the over, because they went under in that first game. I know the Bills defense is playing better, but if Patty Mahomes comes back, he has Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. We already know about the Bills offense. I think there's a lot of momentum, and they could possibly get over, although they might be running a lot. So That's why it's just a slight lean for me as far as the over under goes.
Yeah, I do like that the second leg of that teaser for you, Tone. I do think the Packers win. I think they again win by a field goal, so I think you're going to be pretty set on that. But I'm not going to follow your teaser on the second leg, but I am going to jump on the first leg of Tone's teaser, and I am going to tease the Bills up to +9. I said last week they are the hottest team in football. They'd be undefeated for the last 12 weeks if it weren't for that Hail Mary. They keep proving day in and day out, Nate, do not bet against the Bills. So I won't. I'm not going to. And I think it's a perfect spot right now for you to take the Bills with Mahomes questionable, not only with the concussion like Tone was talking about, but his toe. I don't know if it was broken or what happened to it, but it was significant enough for them to talk about it.
Right.
So it's an issue. If Mahomes not 100%, I don't see them beating the Bills by more than a touchdown. I think Josh Allen has Bills Mafia at his back. Unfortunately, Zach Moss won't be back. He's hurt. I think he's their number one guy. But I think Cole Beasley's another week healthier. He steps up. And I like the Bills +9. And I am going to tease that with what my co-host hates, is teasing the over-under, which I'm going to do. Only because I am going to tease it to over 47. But along with that, I'm going to lean heavily towards the over 53. Yeah, I think it's going to be an absolute shootout, especially because last week both offenses struggled mightily, and I think this week they both kind of get a groove going. Both defenses I don't think are all that great, even though the Bills did look pretty good holding the Ravens to 3 last week. I do think it's due for this game to go over, and if it's not that 53, which I'm not going to commit to fully, I think it will be that 47, so that will be my tease.
You know what? I think you just talked me into it.
Oh, yeah?
You know what? Cool. Fuck it. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take the over 53.
Oh, baby.
It's
going to
be a shootout back and forth.
Okay.
They were under in the first game. Both teams were under last week. I think maybe the public's going to see that and maybe take the under, although it's hard to take the under on both these teams. But you know what? Just for the sake of it, I'm going to go ahead and take the over 53, and we're going to hope for a shootout. Hope it's a beautiful game.
Yeah,
nice.
I think both of these games are going to be extremely fun to watch. You got a couple old dudes playing in the NFC, and then you got some young gunslingers over in the AFC. It's going to be a fun day.
I hope you guys get your chicken wings
and popcorn out.
Definitely.
Because it's going to be a show.
Alrighty. I love it.
All right. So we got one luck it in.
Yeah.
Packers -3. I like that. We got Tone taking a teaser. Bills +9, Packers +3. He's taking the over 53 in the Bills Chiefs game. Nate, you are taking a teaser at Bills +9, over 47.
All right, so we are going to drift right into our DraftKings picks of the week, and I am going to hand the torch over to Father Tone only because he beat me last week, so it's only right that you go first. Who do you got for your quarterback in the conference championship week?
I'm going to end up going with Aaron Rodgers. I can't help it. Like I mentioned, he's in his bag, and until he proves me wrong, I think there's too much upside for his price tag. He's only $6,500. So for me, there's other quarterbacks that are more expensive, and they might end up outscoring him. But I love Aaron Rodgers at that price, and I'll ride with him at my quarterback at $6,500.
Yeah, I love Aaron Rodgers, but I am actually going to set my price point just a tad bit higher and get Josh Allen at $6,900. Giggity. So I think he has serious potential to get a lot of rushing yards this week, maybe a rushing touchdown, which I don't – I mean, Aaron Rodgers, who is low-key nice on his feet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He is very
– He proved that last week.
Yeah, he can
– Filthy. Nice.
Yeah.
He can mess around and get 70 like yards in a game. And so – but I do like Josh Allen this week only because they struggled so mightily last week offensively. So – I am going to go with my guy Josh Allen at that $6,900.
I love that pick.
Thank you.
I've rode him for a couple weeks, so I love you too, brother. Love you too, AJ.
Love you guys.
AJ, we love you.
I like I said, I had taken him multiple weeks in a row. I didn't want to take him again, so I went with Aaron. But if I wasn't going to go with Aaron, I would go with Josh Allen. So very good pick. At my running back position, I'm going to go with Darrell Williams. I think there's a ton of value there. He's $4,800. There's still no word if Clyde is going to play, so I'm not really sure. But I'm going to go ahead with Darrell Williams at $4,800.
Yeah, that's actually a super nice pick. Not only are you picking someone who's going to produce a lot of points this week, but he's at a very nice price point. $4,800, you could basically afford the rest of the field at that point if you wanted to. But I'm going to go slightly higher, and I'm going to take Leonard Fournette. He's only $5,300, and I think he's a threat catching the ball out of the backfield lately. And I think he's going to get the nod a little bit more than Ronald Jones this week, only because he's been the hotter back. Ronald Jones is still slightly coming off that injury. So I think Leonard Fournette does end up having the biggest day out of any Buccaneer this weekend. So I'm going Leonard Fournette for that $5,300.
I like that. I think it's a good pick. For my wide receiver position, I'm going to go with Davante Adams. So I'm going to pair him with Aaron Rodgers. He's $8,000, but as always, he's a ton of value. Him and Aaron are just out here. They're doing lovely things. And like I said, I'm going to continue to ride them until they prove me or give me a reason not to. So I will pair Davante Adams with Aaron Rodgers, and he is $8,000.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, in all reality, I should be picking Stephon Diggs at that $7,000 price point to pair up with Josh Allen. But I'm not going to do that. I'm a grown adult, and I'm going to do exactly what I want to do, not what anyone else wants me to do. So I'm going to luck that in because I love Davante Adams this week. There's no one that's going to tell me this man is not going to go off and lead this team to the Super Bowl. Davante Adams at $8,000. I also went pretty relatively low on my running back, not quite as low as Fowler Tone, but I mean, $5,300 for my running back. I think I'm allowed to grab an $8,000 receiver, especially when he drops a 30 to 35 bomb this weekend.
Right.
So I'm going to luck that in. I love that pick. Davante Adams, get on this bandwagon. You thought I was going to say something else.
For my tight end, I will take Gronk. The last time out, he led the team in targets. So he took 8 targets, and I know he doesn't always produce heavily, but he's only $3,200. I think at that price point, there's a ton of potential for him to get a touchdown or at least a handful of targets for him to get some receptions and make it worth your while. So I will take Robert Gronkowski at $3,200 for my tight end.
Well, doggone it. Dang nabbit. Holy molasses. That's back-to-back luck it ends. Because I love Gronk this week. I think he gets a touchdown. Didn't do much of anything last week. Did he drop a zero spot, or was that the week before? I know he stunk, but it's just crazy when you're looking at the DraftKings app and you're looking at the tight ends, you see the top guy at 8,000, then the drop off is insane because Robert Tonyan's 3,600 right after Travis Kelce. Obviously, I think Travis Kelce has a day, but I'm not going to take him at 8,000 because I feel like that's so much.
Right. It's a lot. After we already taken Davante, and just to clarify, Gronk actually had 2.4 points last game.
Oh, yeah. Stellar performance.
One reception, but he did have 5 targets. So
yeah, okay. Oh, so they're looking at him. Okay, yeah, I'm still going to luck that in with Gronk, but I think Travis Kelce is going to have a pretty good day too.
8,000. Yeah, I mean, of course. Cow. If you have room, you're going to take Travis Kelce.
And you're going to have room because you're going to listen to our sleepers here in a little bit.
So for my flex, I'm going to go with Chris Godwin. He's $5,600. I think there's a ton of potential for Chris Godwin to get a lot of receptions because Antonio Brown's hurt and Mike Evans is banged up. So again, him and Gronk have to get a lot of love just because they got to throw the ball somewhere and we know Tom is going to get his.
Right.
So I like Chris Godwin at $5,600, so I will take him for my flex position.
Yeah, that's actually an extremely good pick, and you're slowly kind of weighing my decision into taking Chris Godwin, but after everything I said about the Buccaneers, about Leonard Fournette having the biggest day, and then I go and take 2 more guys from the Buccaneers, I'd look like a hypocrite. So I am going to go ahead, and I guess I'm going to conditional pick because I want Clyde Edwards-Helaire as my flex. Obviously, there's not a great chance he plays, which would mean that I am going to luck in, for the most part, Daryl Williams, just because I think he's their number one guy. Le'Veon Bell obviously isn't getting the touches that they know something that we don't know inside the franchise, that they're not giving him playing time, because obviously he is a premier back still. He can do the things that that team needs him to do, but they're just not giving him the opportunities to. So I'm going to go Clyde Edwards-Helaire. If he sits out, I'm going to luck in Daryl Williams. Conditional picks are completely allowed because you're listening to this before we know. So you guys know later than we do whether these guys are going to play or not. I hope you're not filling out your Sunday DraftKings at Friday at 4 p.m. and just leaving them there. So if Clyde Edwards-Helaire plays, we're going to throw him at my flex. If he doesn't, luck it in Daryl Williams. Conditional pick, I'm doing it.
I love it. So we have two sleepers this week. Our first one's going to be Cole Beasley. He's been a little banged up. I just think at his price point of $4,100, there's a ton of potential there. So if he's gotten healthy over the last week and they can find a way to keep implementing him the way that they have all season, that $4,100 price point it's a no-brainer. I feel like it's a hell of a bargain. So at $4,100, we're going to take Cole Beasley for our first sleeper.
Yeah, and for our second, I think we agreed heavily on was Alan Lazard at that cheap price point of $4,200. Not only was it Father Tone's Super Bowl pick, we both expect them to win this game, so obviously he is going to get targets. He did drop a few passes last week, but that didn't deter him from having that big touchdown play, and I think Alan Lazard, for that $4,200, if you're trying to avoid or afford Davante Adams and Travis Kelce, I think these two sleepers are going to help that out a lot, especially because you can get some other high price points guys because you still have to pick a cheap defense. And yeah, especially if you get Robert Gronkowski, you can get anybody you want with those guys. So
I do want to make something clear. I did say Chris Godwin was 5,600. He's actually only 5,400. So there's even more of an advantage to get there and maybe a little more incentive. So if you wanted him, you can get him for 5,400.
Super cheap.
Yep. So I think that will wrap up our DraftKings pick.
So we are going to just dive right into our NFL prop bets of the weekend. And as you heard earlier, we are hitting, and we're going to keep hitting. So stay tuned. And I'm going to throw it on over to our moderator, AJ. What do we have on tap here?
All right. Yeah, so prop bets for a conference championship round. Let's start off with passing yards. Most passing yards in the conference championship game, Vegas actually has Patrick Mahomes at the one slot. So they're fully expecting Mahomes to play this week. Patrick Mahomes is plus 175. Josh Allen plus 200. Aaron Rodgers at plus 250, Tom Brady rounding it out at plus 350.
Yeah, I think for me, like I said, I have to continue to ride Aaron Rodgers, so I'm going to take him at that plus 250 amount. The Bucs allowed the least rushing yards in the regular season, but they are ranked 21st in passing yards. So we mentioned this before. That's a huge stat for me. We know they can stop the run, but can they stop Aaron Rodgers when he's in his bag? So I think there's a ton of potential for him to get that at plus 250. I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers to have the most passing yards.
Okay, yeah, I do like that pick, but I think this might just be a running theme on our prop bets on who we've taken from our DraftKings, because I'm going to go the same route and take Josh Allen at that plus 200 price point or a betting line, because I don't think the Chiefs are anything that great. The Browns had plenty of opportunity to score more than 17 points that game. There was a couple obvious mishaps with some calls. We talked about it earlier. And without Zach Moss in there, I can tell that the Bills don't really trust their running game, which they barely even tried last week against the Ravens. And I think Josh Allen is going to need to keep up with the high-scoring offense of the Chiefs. So they have Josh Allen slinging the ball this week, and I'm going to take Josh Allen at that plus 200.
I like that. All right. I think one of these two should take that.
Those are the guys.
Very nice pick.
Looking at the remaining teams left and the prop bet and the four quarterbacks left, if you had to pick a quarterback for one specific game, are these the four guys that you would pick from, or is there someone outside of these four that you would prefer to have?
Oh, very good question.
I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers, honestly. He's too good. He's proven himself time and time again. He's a master of his art. So for me, I can't go against him. I know other people might take other candidates, but I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers all day. So,
yeah, it's hard to argue that he has. I mean, according to Stephen A. Smith, he's a bad man. But I'm going with Patrick Mahomes just because this guy has started three seasons. He's only lost 9 football games total, which is ridiculous. So I know he has weapons. I know he's got a good coach with him, but I just think the talent he has, what I've seen him do, I'm either taking him or I'm going outside. I'm taking Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
All right. That'll just move us right to the next prop bet.
I'm just tickling your balls.
They're all tickled. Right.
Most receiving yards this week: Stephon Diggs plus 250, Davante Adams plus 275, Tyreek Hill plus 350, and then Travis Kelce plus 375.
I'm going to go ahead and just pair Davante Adams with Aaron Rodgers, so I'll take him plus 275. They have a fantastic thing going. So again, until someone can interrupt it or stop it, I can't bet against it. So I think there's a lot of potential with those other candidates, but at plus 275, I'll take Davante Adams.
Yeah, so like I just said, we're going to probably be running off the DraftKings theme. I'm going to luck that in for the most part, and I'm also going to take Davante Adams at plus 275. I just think the Buccaneers' rush defense is too strong. I don't think that three-headed monster with Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, and A.J. Dillon, I don't think they're going to have quite the impact they've had in the past few games where they worked them all in. I think the Bucs shut that down, and what Fowler Tone was saying earlier, their pass defense is just booty. And I think if you want to win, you put Davante Adams in, and I'm going to also take Davante Adams at plus 275.
All right, next one's going to be most rushing yards this week: Aaron Jones plus 175. And there's a pretty big drop off: Devin Singletary plus 400. Leonard Fournette plus 450, Clyde Edwards-Helaire plus 475.
You know what? For me, I'm going to go risky. I'm going to try to get the most, bang for my buck. So I'm going to go Darrell Williams. I'm going to go ahead and take him for most rushing yards this weekend. Aaron Jones is going against arguably the best rushing defense in the league. I can't take him at that price point. Devin Singletary has his problems, and Leonard Fournette, we don't know how much of a role Ronald Jones is going to play. The first time that they played the Packers, from Ronald Jones was the star of the show. He had 100-plus yards. He had multiple touchdowns. So I can't take Leonard Fournette. And I don't know if Clyde's going to play. So for me, I think it's logical to take Darrell Williams. There's a high price point. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure the return is fantastic.
Yeah, Darrell Williams is plus 650.
So I will take him at plus 650.
Yeah, I love that pick, and I really want to luck that in. I want to agree. I really think that has a really high chance of winning, but I'm going to go 3-for-3 for the both of us and taking our DraftKings picks, and I'm going to go Leonard Fournette at that plus 450, only because, like you said earlier, Antonio Brown's a little banged up, Evans is banged up, Jaire Alexander is going to be guarding the most healthy, best receiver, no matter who it is, and he's going to shut them down. They're going to need Leonard Fournette to establish the run. I know Ronald Jones is a huge part of that offense, but I think this is Leonard Fournette's time to establish that he is exactly who he is. Leonard Fournette, who everyone thought he was out of LSU, going to Jacksonville, one of the top fantasy players you could pick. I am going to say Leonard Fournette makes everybody know who his name is, and he goes over for, like, maybe over 100 at least. Hmm. I think he goes off. Leonard Fournette.
Okay. Right. I like it.
Plus 450.
All right. That's going to take us to the next one. Fewest points scored this week: Tampa Bay Buccaneers plus 175, Buffalo Bills plus 200, Green Bay Packers plus 250, Kansas City Chiefs plus 350.
I'm going to have to go with the Bucks. I think that at plus 175, like I said, they're banged up, so they have a ton of potential, but the fact that they're banged up, it's hard for me to take them as, you know, the most points scored. So I'll go ahead and take them with the fewest points scored, and I will go with the Tampa Bay Bucks at plus 175.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and lock that in because I know all that thing, all that stuff I said about Leonard Fournette, I just think he's the only one who really gets anything done. I think Rob Gronkowski gets himself a touchdown, but I don't see the Buccaneers outscoring the – I think they lose to the Packers, obviously. I don't see them outscoring the Bills or the Chiefs. So I just think that's – I think that's a fair odds they or Vegas put out at plus 175. I'm going to luck that in.
All right. So then obviously the next one is most points scored, and it's going to be the same rotation, vice versa. Most points scored, Kansas City Chiefs plus 175, Green Bay Packers plus 200, Buffalo Bills plus 250, Tampa Bay plus 350.
I'm going to take a conditional pick. So assuming Patrick Mahomes plays, I have to take Kansas City Chiefs at plus 175. They've been on the downside as far as scoring goes the last couple of weeks, but I think they have a ton of potential, especially with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. We know what their offense offers. So I think you're maybe getting them at a steal. Again, I could be completely wrong about that, but with these kind of prop bets and the big advantage, I will take them at plus 175.
Yeah, I might be going a little balls out on this just because I know Kansas City's the favorite. Mahomes' uncertainty is a little alarming for me. I think the Bills might just punch their ticket to the Super Bowl against the Packers. And so, with that being said, I don't think the Packers, Buccaneers, or Chiefs outscore the Buffalo Bills this weekend. And I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills at plus 250. Those Canadians are going to the Super Bowl.
Very nice.
So, let's try to keep this winning train going in the prop bets.
Yeah,
it was a nice week last week. I think less guys going, and I think it's, I don't know, better odds, less people to pick from.
Favorable
it's
odds.
Tough, yeah.
Favorable, I would say, yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and I think we got some good guys out there. Yeah. I think we covered all grounds. So that's going to lead us into UFC 257. The big return of Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier. Rematch from 2014 where Conor McGregor got the first round finish, I believe, correct?
Yep.
And I'm going to throw this on over to our moderator and in-house UFC expert, Mr. AJ. What's right. up? What do you got?
So, yeah, UFC 257, live from Fight Island, Abu Dhabi, this Saturday at 10 p.m. You know, when I do betting on UFC, I look at it a little bit different than football. Football, you generally know who's going to win, who's going to lose. You know that the Packers are going to beat the Lions twice a year. You know that the Ravens are going to beat the Bengals twice a year. Godspeed to our Bengals fans out there. So, you know, UFC betting is a little bit more risky than things like NFL. That's why you have the spreads and shit like that. It makes it a little bit more fair. UFC is all money line. There's no spreads. Judges can determine a fight. It's just more difficult. So, you know, when I bet on football, it's more of a business. I'm trying to turn profit. When I do UFC, it's an entertainment thing. I'm betting on UFC to have fun. So the idea is still to turn a profit this weekend for you guys. I'm going to give you what I think is going to go down. And hopefully you follow me, and hopefully I win you some money this weekend. So
I am curious. What do you think? Is it that much more challenging because you're going only against money lines, or can sometimes there is an edge or an advantage to that?
Sometimes it helps. You know, I've had so many fights where I picked the guy. Of course, I feel like they won, and then the judges go a different route. You know, baseball, basketball, football, there's a final score determined by the players in play. When the judges have control, it makes betting almost feel sketchy sometimes.
Sure.
So
that's really interesting, honestly.
Yeah.
That's way different. So
yeah. It's you hope for a knockout or a submission. You don't really ever want to see a fight go to decision because you really never know. So yeah, you guys both know Conor McGregor's back. That's why we're talking about this fight. Good thing about Conor is he's exciting, he's polarizing. He makes you feel like you get your money's worth when you buy his fights. The bad thing about Conor is Dana White knows that, and sometimes he'll surround that same card with trash fights. I'm not going to lie to you guys. It's not the best card I've ever seen. But, you know, Conor's on it. He's headlining. So it's going to be worth ordering. It's going to be worth watching with the boys on Saturday night. That's going to take us to our first fight. It's going to be a women's strawweight. Number 8, Marina Rodriguez, plus 260, taking on number 10, Amanda Ribas, minus 310. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I don't know a lot about either one of these two. But Vegas loves Ribas, and so do I. So I'm going to lean Ribas on the opening fight. Second fight's going to be a men's lightweight bout. Matt Frivola, plus 136, versus Otman Azatar, minus 156. So my UFC insider source gave me a nice little tidbit on Otman. He's undefeated, 10 KOs, 8 first-round KOs. Shout out Dice.
Hey, Dice.
Shout out Dice.
So, with that being said, for the second fight, give me Azatar. He's going to win by TKO.
Okay. What round do you think? Is that a.
I'm going first round TKO.
Oh, baby. Okay.
Love to hear.
10 KOs, 8 first rounders.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
So, let's make 9. 9 first round TKOs when this one's over with. Third fight, we got number 6, Jessica I. Minus 107. She's taking on Joanne Calderwood. Minus 113. I don't really know what to make on this one, to be honest with you. Vegas isn't quite sure right now at the moment when you look at those odds. I'm personally going to pass on this one, but if you force me to take someone, Jessica is from Ohio, so give me a hometown lean on Jessica I. What do you think, Nate?
Well, quick shout out to Jessica I. Trains at Strong Style Gym up
there
in Independence.
Shout out.
She trains at the same gym as Stipe Miocic,
the champ,
along with one of my good buddies, Brian "The Predator" Rogers, former middleweight in Bellator, has some of the nastiest flying knee knockouts you'll ever see. Google him, YouTube him. Brian "The Predator" Rogers, he has the most vicious Bellator knockouts I have ever seen. So, quick shout out there for the Strong Style Gym. Okay. Jessica I, she's going to get the dub.
Okay. All right, it's going to take us to the co-main event, men's lightweight bout. We have number 6, Dan Hooker, minus 130. He's taking on Michael Chandler at plus 110. Michael Chandler is one of Dana White's newest hype trains. And if you know anything about Dana White's hype trains, they usually derail. It doesn't really go well. Now, Michael Chandler is a dog at Bellator. He really tore it up, but he was at Bellator for a reason. Bellator fighters, minus who Nate just shouted out, aren't very good. They're not in UFC for a reason. So because of that, give me Dan Hooker on this one.
Well, I am curious, as someone that's not as in the UFC as maybe the common listener, but what does that mean as far as the Bellator?
Well, I would say UFC is mostly, it's like, that's the MLB, and Bellator is like your minor league, your AAA.
Okay, that makes perfect
yeah,
sense.
It's like, yeah.
So you're in the G League.
Yeah,
or
the
NBA.
G League. Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say.
I mean,
there's different fight leagues.
You used to have Strikeforce, which was big. They went away. You have UFC, Bellator. One championship is overseas. That's pretty big. Fight company, but if you're the best at what you do, you're in UFC. That's just
okay
the way it is.
I like that.
Yeah, and we potentially could have an interview later to later be disclosed with one of my good buddies who runs a gym down there in Orlando, Florida.
Okay,
but I'm not going to say anything yet before I'm just going to kind of slightly speak it into existence.
Yeah, a little teaser.
I love it.
Yeah.
Love to hear it.
So we're going. Right. So what else we got going? Because I think we got ourselves a main event.
Yeah, so AJ. That's going to take us to the main event for the card. It's going to be number 2, Dustin Poirier, plus 260, taking on number 4, Conor McGregor, who's minus 310. It is a rematch. They last fought at featherweight. That's 145. Conor won that fight via TKO. This one's going to be at lightweight. And I feel like Conor has the advantage of moving up as far as conditioning goes, not having to cut weight. These last 2 years, Poirier has been on a tear, and Conor's, for the most part, been a ghost. It's been absent. You can look at that a few ways. It can be a disadvantage, or for a fighter, a couple years off can actually be an advantage. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I've been back and forth on this one for quite some time. These last couple days, I wasn't entirely sure on this one. You know, looking at the odds, I love Poirier's odds at plus 260. And you look at McGregor at minus 310, your payout just isn't great. You got to put a lot of money down to get anything back in return.
Right.
So that's definitely affected my decision. But, you know, ultimately, I got to go Conor McGregor on this one. I think he takes a second round TKO. I look for him to win. I look for him to call out Khabib for a rematch. Whether that happens or not, I'm not sure. But how I'm going to end this, I know you guys are big on teasers. I'm going to go with a little parlay here to start off my UFC debut.
There you go.
So, you know what? Because I don't really love these odds on any of these fights, let me get an Azatar-Hooker-McGregor parlay. That's going to give you around plus 275 to 280 odds.
Very nice.
It's going to make the payout a little bit nicer if you can hit on all three of those. So anything can happen, but that's my parlay for UFC 257.
Yeah. Oh, and quick, you had mentioned Khabib Nurmagomedov. Quick shout out to his cousin. He had got his first UFC victory today on the same day in the same fashion that Khabib did. 9 years ago on the day with a choke, and he ended it that same way, and he's known for striking. So quick shout out to Nurmagomedov. I hope Khabib does come back and beat the shit out of Conor McGregor again, but that's just me.
What a beautiful stat Nate just
gave us. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Just so very fantastic. Thank you. Well, I like that.
It's lovely.
That was you don't get that anywhere else, you know?
It's just me and Sports Center, I guess.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I love that.
I hope you guys are still listening, because I don't get many compliments from Father Tone, but when they hit me, man, they hit me like Cuba Zero.
You're blushing.
I give you plenty of them. I've been there.
Done that?
Since... Mikey would never laugh at jokes. I'm laughing at jokes.
I do appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah,
yeah, that's very nice to you. But, so, I think that just about does it for the Luck Changers podcast. Let me just reassure you guys. We are on Instagram at Luck Changers Podcast. We are on TikTok at Luck Changers Podcast. We are on Twitter at Luck Changers Podcast. We'll soon be on Facebook within the next week or so at Luck Changers Podcast. How many times do I need to say this? If you Google Luck Changers Podcast, boom, there we are. Google us, Facebook us, Instagram us, TikTok us, Twitter us, podcast us.
I believe we're Gmail on Gmail.
Us. Gmail us. Oh, we have an email.
Guess what?
What's Luck our email?
Changers, Luck Changers Podcast.
At what? Luckchangerspodcast@gmail.com. How many times
it
do
can't
I have
get
to
much
say
easier.
It? All you got to type in is Luck Changers Podcast. And there we are. And so, with all that being said, look us up. We are there. Subscribe. Give us that 5-star rating. Just shoot us an email if you have any questions whatsoever. We will answer them on air. Unless they are very profane from, like, I don't know.
We still might.
But yeah.
We'll figure it out.
We probably will. Just email whatever you want us to answer, because we will answer it all. Thank you guys so much. If you're listening this far, you are a true fan, lover of the show.
Shout out to the fans.
Shout out to any listener.
I thank you guys so much for me. I'm Boogs, Father Tone, and AJ.
And we are...
Adios. Peace.